Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narchery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Visible Learning: The Sequel by John Hattie is a major work of educational research synthesis that updates and extends the argument of his earlier visible learning. Positioned between scholarship and professional practice, the book gathers findings from more than 200 meta-analyses related to student achievement and uses them to examine which influences are associated with stronger learning outcomes. Its purpose is not simply to list successful programs, but to help educators think more carefully about impact, evidence, and the conditions under which teaching makes learning more visible. Hattie revisits familiar ideas such as effect size, the hinge point, feedback, and teacher judgment, while also responding to debates that followed the first book. The result is a large-scale reference for teachers, school leaders, coaches, and policy audiences who want a broad evidence-informed view of achievement, rather than presenting education as a matter of fashion or ideology. The book argues for closer attention to what improves learning and how that improvement can be evaluated in real settings. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, an expanded synthesis of research on achievement. One of the most important features of this book is its scale. Hattie revisits the Visible Learning Project by drawing together a far larger body of meta-analytic evidence than in the earlier volume. The sequel, therefore, functions as both an update and a reframing of a long-running effort to compare educational influences on achievement. This matters because the book is not based on a single study, a small trial, or a narrow school reform model. Instead, it surveys a broad research base and asks how strongly different influences are associated with student progress. The synthesis spans multiple domains, including student characteristics, home influences, school structures, classroom practices, teaching approaches, learning strategies, curriculum-related factors, and technology-connected issues. By organizing the evidence in this way, Hattie provides readers with a map of the educational landscape rather than a simple endorsement of one method. The book is especially useful for readers who want to move beyond anecdote and see how many common assumptions compare when examined through aggregated research. Its scope is also what makes it influential, since it offers a shared evidence language for discussions about teaching quality, intervention choices, and school improvement priorities. Secondly, effect size and the hinge point as decision tools. A central concept in the book is effect size, which Hattie uses as a way of estimating the relative impact of different influences on achievement. The sequel continues to use the hinge point of 0-4 as a reference point, representing a level of impact associated with more than typical progress. This idea has been one of the most widely discussed parts of the Visible Learning framework because it offers educators a practical way to compare priorities. And Hattie does not treat the number as a magic rule that settles every question, but as a tool for disciplined thinking about where effort may have greater payoff. In this sense, the book is less about ranking for its own sake and more about making decisions in the face of limited time and resources. It encourages schools to ask whether an initiative is likely to accelerate learning rather than merely maintain it. At the same time, the sequel reflects a more careful tone about interpretation. Readers are pushed to think about the nature of the evidence, the context of implementation, and the danger of using effect sizes without professional judgment. This makes the book valuable not only for those who want numerical guidance, but also for those interested in how evidence should and should not be used in education. Thirdly, the enduring importance of teacher expertise. Another major theme is the powerful role of teachers and the conditions that allow teaching expertise to influence achievement. Across the visible learning tradition, Hattie has argued that what teachers think, notice, and do matters greatly, and the sequel reinforces that position. The emphasis is not on teachers as heroic individuals working in isolation, but on expert practice that is deliberate, evaluative, and responsive to students. Ideas commonly associated with Hattie's work, such as teacher clarity, effective feedback, formative evaluation, and strong expectations, remain central because they connect directly to how students understand goals and make progress. The book also aligns this with collective teacher efficacy, highlighting the importance of shared professional belief and coordinated action within schools. But this shifts the conversation away from simplistic debates about whether a particular program works and toward the quality of implementation and professional decision-making. Hattie repeatedly points readers back to impact. Teachers need to know what success looks like, monitor learning, and adjust when students are not progressing. This focus helps explain why the book resonates with school leaders and instructional coaches. It does not reduce improvement to personality or inspiration alone. Instead, it frames expertise as visible through evidence of learning, clarity of intention, and disciplined reflection on the effects of teaching. Fourthly, visible learning as a model of clarity and feedback. The title idea of visible learning remains one of the book's most important conceptual contributions. In Hattie's framework, learning becomes visible when teachers can see the effects of their teaching and when students can see where they are going, how they are progressing, and what they need to do next. This is why clarity, success criteria, feedback, and formative assessment occupy such a prominent place in the visible learning approach. The sequel continues to stress that effective teaching is not defined merely by activity, engagement, or coverage of content. It is defined by whether learners are making meaningful progress that can be noticed, interpreted, and acted upon. This orientation has practical consequences. It encourages teachers to make intentions explicit, gather evidence of understanding during learning, and treat errors and misconceptions as information rather than failure. It also asks students to become more active in judging the quality of their own work and understanding their next steps. The idea is broad enough to connect with many classroom traditions, yet specific enough to shape everyday practice for readers. One of the strengths of the book is that visible learning is presented not as a slogan, but as a disciplined way of linking instruction, assessment, and learner awareness. That gives the framework continuing relevance across subjects, age groups, and school systems. Lastly, nuance, criticism, and the limits of ranking evidence. The sequel stands out partly because it arrives in the context of long-standing debate about Hattie's methods and conclusions. Critics have questioned whether very large syntheses can adequately account for differences in study quality, context, and design, and whether effect size tables can tempt readers into oversimplified interpretations. An important aspect of this book is that it works within that debate rather than ignoring it. Hattie continues to defend the value of synthesis, but the sequel places stronger emphasis on nuance, interpretation, and the complexity of applying research in schools. This is significant because the most productive reading of visible learning is not as a universal ranking chart that dictates practice, but as a broad evidence framework that informs professional inquiry. The book helps readers compare influences, yet it also implies that implementation, local conditions, and educator expertise remain essential. For that reason, it should be read with both openness and caution. Its greatest value lies in showing patterns across a massive body of research and prompting better questions about impact. Its limitations appear when readers expect a single numerical order to replace judgment. By engaging these tensions, the sequel becomes more than an update of data. It becomes a statement about how educators might use large-scale evidence responsibly without pretending that evidence alone removes the need for interpretation. In conclusion, Visible Learning. The sequel is best suited to educators who want a serious evidence-informed perspective on achievement rather than a quick classroom handbook. Teachers, school leaders, instructional coaches, professional learning teams, and policy readers will gain the most from it, especially if they are interested in setting priorities, evaluating initiatives, or building a shared language around impact. The practical benefit of the book is that it helps readers distinguish between approaches that are merely common and those that are more strongly associated with learning progress. The intellectual benefit is that it invites a deeper conversation about what counts as evidence, how research should guide practice, and why teacher judgment still matters. What makes the book stand out in its category is its extraordinary scope and its continuing influence on discussions of teaching effectiveness. Few education books attempt a synthesis on this scale, and even fewer shape professional vocabulary as strongly as Hattie's work has done. At the same time, its value is greatest when read critically and thoughtfully. Readers who approach it as a framework for inquiry, not a mechanical ranking list, will find it especially useful. In that sense, the book remains a landmark contribution to evidence-based educational thinking and school improvement. If you would like to support John Hattie, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.